I just looked in the mirror, and things are looking so good. I'm looking California, and feeling Minnesota. All right. Yeah, that wasn't Chris Cornell, the voice of God. That was your co-host. It's Mark Fitz. And where are we? We're on the Zero Hour. And who's in front of me?
This is Christine Chapman, your host.
Oh, shit, Christine. Who we got on the phone?
We have a very special guest today calling us from Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of my amazing students. And her name is Amber Diaz. Yay, Amber, welcome!
Hi! The most epic intro I think I could have ever asked for. That was so sick.
I am going to probably crucify myself trying to do a Chris Cornell impersonation.
Yeah, and you were very kind, Amber. Truly.
Yes, yes, for sure. Well, what kind of had me with the Chris Cornell, I was thinking about Debo. So here's how Amber comes to us, right? I'm going to mispronounce his last name, but he was a guest. Go ahead, Christine. What's his?
Dio Budnovich.
Dio Budnovich, who is affectionately known as Debo. I saw, we had him as a guest, well-spoken, intelligent, dedicated. And then I saw a picture of him. Motherfucker looks like Chris Plant. Looks like Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, right?
I know.
And I was listening to Amber, and listen, this has been on my mind. Ambar or Amber?
Here we go.
Go.
So, Ambar was the name I was given, but everyone says it wrong. So, I just say Amber because it's easier, and I honestly prefer Amber, kind of. Amber's the vibe.
Amber is the vibe.
Amber is the light of her energy.
Yes, it is the light of her energy.
311, since we're talking about music.
Fire.
Amber is the light of her energy. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Amber is an artiste. She is a musician. We listened to her this morning. She got some soul. Girl got some chops.
Yes.
Girl been singing. Girl is romantic. Girl's got all this good juju going on. Hell yes, Amber Diaz.
And Amber also has an incredible story.
All right. Yeah. Wait, hang on. Do we want to unpack the story right away?
Well, can we have Amber do a little bit of origin story?
Wait, no, we're not. Dude, we're 5 minutes in.
Okay.
We're five minutes in. All right.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. All right. Origin, schmorigin, we'll get to it. Amber, I should have been an attorney. Why? Because I have lots of questions always, and I lead the witness. All right. I got questions. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Amber. Sure. All right. So we listened to you this morning. Christine and I, often on our way to the studio, we just play music and, you know, like we
hyped.
Yeah. We hype ourselves. And sometimes we hype ourselves by listening to girl rock. Like I'm talking Holla Brett. I'm talking about Alanis Morissette. We're talking about Fiona Apple, who we listened to this morning.
Yeah!
We're talking about women who tell a story through lyrics. And I'm a fan, whether you're a woman telling a story through lyrics, a rock song, a guy, reggae, I don't care. I listen to the lyrics and I like the story. So the question is, where do you get your inspiration from? Like, have you written a song of heartbreak or maybe breaking someone else's heart? Like, where does it come from? You're a young woman. Are you 18?
I'm 17. I turn 18 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, girl. All right. So where do you get your inspiration? Like when I listen to Alanis, even I get like I get goosebumps. I'm like, damn, some dude really pissed her off. Right.
Yeah,
and now she's writing about it.
Yeah. Or like we were listening to Get Gone, Fiona Apple's Get Gone. I love that song.
That's such a good song.
I remember when Celia, my daughter, listened to the song for the first time. Like her first question was not to me. It was to the song. It was to Fiona. And her, what she said was, oh, man, who hurt you, man? Who hurt you?
Yeah.
Right. So it's a good question.
Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Hmm.
Where does the soul come from?
I think a lot of the inspiration that I've gained throughout things that I've experienced, if it's through myself or through others that I know. Like, the first song I ever wrote, I wrote it with one of my really good friends, and it was about one of our good friends falling for a guy. So a lot of my inspiration is channeled through people that I love.
Yep.
Because I write for people that I love more than I write for myself. Because I kind of project a lot of my feelings of love and appreciation towards how I treat my friends and my family. So this first song that I wrote it about one of my good friends really liking this guy. And she comes to me and tells me, like, I really like this guy. Like, I think he's really cool. And, like, everything she was saying, I took verbatim and just wrote it into a song. And it was the first song that I wrote with eventually my band, with Dio, actually, he plays guitar in it, my friend Gerwin and my friend Emma. We all collectively started writing parts to the song together, and it became a song called Your Chain.
Say it again. It's called what?
Your Chain. So, like, it's like chain, like necklace chain.
Yep.
Your Chain.
Your Chain.
That was the first song we ever wrote together, and it's about someone else's experience. So I've learned to realize that inspiration can come in, like, so many different forms. Like, a lot of the songs that I've written recently are about things that I've noticed within myself when I journal and when I do shadow work, and I like really, really like introspect my own feelings. But inspiration can come from literally anywhere. It can come from a poster I saw on the wall the other day. It could come from how I saw someone look at somebody else, how my friends treat each other. Like, inspiration is just things that surround me, not just come from me.
Is there, you know, it's interesting. Is there an example? I'm just saying this generally. I'm not asking anyone the question, but anyone who can answer. Is there an example where we have seen musicians that have started as young people, young women or young men, and they write about that heartache, that inspiration, and when they get older, you're maturing, and you write about other stuff, right? That is age or gender relevant, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, what musicians, I guess, Amber, do you look at and you're like, man, that's some good shit, or that's deep, or like, I understand what they're saying, and I have felt that. And the follow-up question to that is, are musicians generally, are they more introspective, right? Is Debo, you guys are besties, is Debo introspective? Is he self-aware of that shirt he was wearing, which I could never wear because I'm not in a rock and roll band and I don't have hair like that anymore. But, like, can you help me understand, like, who you like as a musician from a lyric perspective and then maybe from a music perspective?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think at the moment, my favorite artist and lyricist is this girl called Yeba. But her stage name is her name backwards. So her name is Abby Smith.
Yep.
Her stage name is Abby backwards. I kind of discovered her semi-recently, like about a year ago.
Yep.
And what caught my attention was her first song that I ever listened to was called Where Do You Go? And it's about the process of how she lost her mom at a young age, which is like a parallel to my life. So when I read her lyrics, I kind of saw my life with her words. And I just instantly connected to the way that she could articulate such a difficult feeling onto her music. And with that, I can say she's been someone I've looked up to a lot recently in terms of writing style and vocals, because she's one of the best vocalists I've ever heard in my life. And she writes very similar music as to what I want to write. And in terms of us being more introspective than like any like than others, or like, learn to be introspective. I think since musicians have such a tap in feeling of, let me see how I can answer this. Since musicians have such a heightened sense of of feeling because we've learned how to communicate through sounds. I feel like that kind of requires us to be more in touch with ourselves and to understand why we like certain things and why we don't like certain things musically.
Okay. I'm gonna ask a follow up question because this is fascinating.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you, as a student of music, because I know through the venues that you and I met through, and we will eventually mm-hmm. talk about that, like in the process of playing music, learning music, and especially as it pertains to songwriting,
mm-hmm.
do you find that you are assigned the task of doing the introspective work, like journaling and shadow work, like you mentioned earlier on?
I think if we want to write something that is genuine to ourselves, it's kind of an obligation to do that, to do that work to rehabilitate yourself if you're going through something. I feel like it's up to us, if we want to write music that is genuine to us, to do that work. It's obligational, I think, personally. Because I know that if I wouldn't have sat a couple weeks ago, written all my feelings down in the journal, really tapped into myself, really understood why I was feeling the way I was feeling, I wouldn't have been able to write the music that I'm writing right now. I wouldn't have been able to understand the feelings that I'm feeling to be able to write the music I'm writing. There's a lot of work that goes behind putting these letters and these words on paper. It takes a lot of self-reflection and a lot of maturity to be able to be a genuine writer as you want to be. You know?
Yeah.
I think it's an obligation for sure.
How does one write a song? And the movie I'm thinking about is 8 Mile, Eminem. He's on a bus. He's got this piece of paper, and it looks like A Beautiful Mind, right? Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of shit written on a piece of paper, but somehow it turns into lyrics and turns into beat and melody, so on and so forth. So Ambar, and I know it's Amber, mm-hmm. Ambar, mm-hmm. Does it start with just literally nonsensical words on a paper that are a mishmash of emotion and or storytelling that you put on a piece of paper, and then you kind of connect the dots and fill in the spaces? Or do you think of like a tune or a melody, or did it start with, I would assume it starts with the actual feeling and authenticity of the lyrics. And how do you put those lyrics together? Then how do you add sound to it?
Let's see. I think everybody's writing experience is very different, and it also has to do with the place you are in your life. Because sometimes it comes from, I wake up in the middle of the night with like a melody in my head, and I just write lyrics down half asleep, and I wake up, it's a book of gibberish. Like, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can write music. Like, a lot of it for me as of recently, because my writing style has changed a lot through learning new writing styles, listening to new artists and their approach. Like, I have been always very in touch with melodies, and my ear has evolved a lot. So for me, I kind of think of a melody in my head, and I kind of just go on my piano, set up some chords, because I don't really play instruments that much. I play violin, but in terms of writing music, keyboard and piano is the best option for a vocalist especially. So I just kind of look up online like chords that fit this melody that I'm singing. And slowly but surely, I kind of let it linger, let the melody just linger in my head. And the words will just flow naturally, especially if I'm doing journal entries on a regular basis. I kind of take things from that. As of recently, that's been my strategy. But everybody is different, especially if you're not writing music with lyrics. If you're just writing instrumental music, that approach can be completely different.
So,
you know,
you mentioned a good point. In Stella, what's the name of the young musicians? What is it?
Young Musicians Unite.
All right. In YMU, are you guys writing the music as well as the lyrics?
Let's see. YMU is a nonprofit organization where we kind of meet musicians in the same age level as us, and like the same grade and the same relative like style of music, and we just learned to create music together. But like part of the itinerary is to play shows where we play cover songs. For if we're in a rock band, we play rock cover songs. If we're in a jazz band, we play jazz songs. But I was extremely lucky to meet people like Dio and my friend Gerwin and my friend Emmanuel, where we were all in a band together playing cover songs, but then we kind of connected on a deeper level musically, and we decided to make our own project where we wrote our own music separately from everything else. Hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
if
it makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we, in YMU, we are connected and we are brought together by playing cover songs by other people and playing a bunch of shows for Miami Beach in our community. But we have established, the four of us, my band, we have established such a genuine connection that music, us writing music together, just kind of flowed so naturally that we became a collective.
Amber, when did you know, like, when did you know you wanted to be a musician? Because that is also what you plan to study in college, right? Music business, correct?
Yes, music business, correct.
When did you know?
I think I started playing music in general when I was in like first grade, second grade. I played violin in this orchestra in my elementary school.
Okay.
But I never took music as a serious career when I was playing violin because it was just a hobby that I had. Because my family is musical, my dad's a DJ, my mom was a music producer and coordinator for people here in Miami. So I just felt like music was just around me and I just wanted to be part of it somehow. But I never felt connected as much as I thought I should have been if I wanted to study it. Until I joined this rock band in 10th grade, which I had my whole process. I auditioned for it because my very good friend at the time, Salima, is Sammy's little sister, who Sammy is the CEO and like the boss of YMU.
He's a founder, right?
He's the founder of, he's the CEO of YMU, and he's the lead director of Rock Ensemble right now. And his little sister was like, Amber, you've never tried singing before? Like, I think you could be good at it. You should try. So I tried it on a freaking fluke. Like, I didn't even think that I would get anywhere with it. And I ended up getting in because they all believed that I could be something way bigger than I was then because I didn't take it seriously then. And then the more I started performing, the more I got to know everyone around me, when I realized that I was really, like, good and in touch with this art form and, like, writing music came so easily to me with my friends, I was like, maybe I could actually do this. Like, it just came so naturally, and with the support of people like Dio and, like, all my other friends, I just felt very safe to be able to express that I wanted to study music.
So are you, as a vocalist, are you self-taught? Do you have a coach, or is it all on your own?
Yes, as of now, I do have a coach given to me by YMU and by the Lynwood School of Music through a scholarship fund named the Levi Gans Scholarship Fund.
Excellent.
Well, Levi Gans is an alumni that I have the pleasure to know as well. And he gives, like, free music classes through a school of music that Sammy also runs to people who are in financial need and would want to continue music in college.
That's amazing.
So I've been taking lessons through that foundation for about a year now.
And Amber, you need to sort of step back a bit and give us context, because I know the bigger story of where you were at emotionally when Salima reached out to you and said, hey, you'd be a great addition to this program or to this band.
Yeah.
You should try out. So I know that there's loss involved. So I don't know how comfortable you are telling that story, but I think our readership would be so, or our listenership would be so inspired.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll give you the rundown.
Okay.
So my freshman year of high school, I was kind of on this track of studying law and, like, following in my mom's footsteps when she studied, like, entrepreneurship and law. And then around kind of right after winter break of my freshman year, she had passed away very unexpectedly. And I was left kind of on my own mentally because she was my world at that point.
Of course.
And I didn't really know anything else other than that, because she basically, like, cradled and protected me from a lot of the world's things until then.
That's her job.
And it was, what happened?
That's her job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She cradled me and, like, held me from a lot of things that I wasn't exposed to. And then when she passed away, everything kind of hit me. And I was in this really bad place. Like, I didn't want to. I didn't know if I was going to go to college. I was, like, very kind of left down in the dumps for a while. And then when the school year started, Salima, who was my best friend at the time and still is one of my best friends now, talked to her every single day. And she knew what kind of place I was in. She had seen me a couple times, but I clearly needed time for myself. Yeah. So she didn't want to pry or anything, but she was like, hey, like, there's this rock band that I think you would really like. Like, I know things are going on right now, and I know that you're, like, really depressed and, like, things aren't going well, but I think that this would be really good for you, and it could get you out of your slump that you're in. And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know, let's see, I don't know. And then I did it, because she was like, I think it'd be really fun. Like, you're underestimating what you guys do. Like, you're underestimating all the shows you'd be playing. You'd be exposed to so many new musicians and so many things that you like. So I was like, okay. So when I gave it a try and I got in, I just couldn't believe that I was given such an opportunity when I felt like I wasn't worthy of it at the time, because I was just so caught up in my own head and in my own situation, in my family situation. I just felt like I couldn't handle something like that. But the moment I had joined, I had met Dio and I had met all my other friends that I know now. Yep. And they gave me a lot of security and a lot of stableness in my life that I had lacked for so long. Mm. So when I gained back that stable, like, friendship and relationships, I felt so much more secure and reassured that I could actually make something of myself, I guess.
And, honey, you have, and then some, right? I mean, you have been amazing. And you work for Young Musicians Unite today,
yes,
correct?
I do. Yes.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah, I am currently right now, during my senior year, it's my first year, I'm SAMI's head intern for YMU and Welk Ensemble, which has given me so many things to consider in terms of studying music, which is why now I want to study music business, because I have realized I love the back end of everything.
That's your mom, too. That's your mom. That's your mom talking. Right?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the back end of it more than the front end, which is like the performing and everything. Like, no, don't get me wrong, I love performing. I fucking love singing so much. It's my favorite thing. But getting to know how things work, the scheduling, the work that goes into creating a performance and creating a festival, to creating a showcase, to creating everything, every intricate detail, I just have grown to love so much. And I'm so grateful that Sammy has given me the opportunity to get to know what it is to work like a big organization, like nonprofit that puts on so many shows a year. And now I have realized that being on the back end of things is what I want to do. So I've given it everything and more to prove to myself, my family, Sammy, everybody that I know how to handle a strong workload, because it's something that I'm very passionate about.
So can we talk about strong workload for a second? So before we went live talking, you mentioned today's activities, right? Did you already have a gig this morning? And you got like another gig this afternoon? Yeah, go ahead.
So this morning I had woken up around like 10-ish. I went to go sound check and help set up this big festival we're having today. It's called the Miami Beach Youth Music Festival. Mm-hmm. It's like a showcase of a bunch of young, talented musicians that are showing off what they've been working on up till this point this year. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a YMU intern, I'm helping coordinate a lot of the activities that are happening. There's four stages in total, and the acts go on one after the other. So it's kind of my job to assist Sammy and Zach, the CFO of Young Musicians Unite, to help everything run smoothly. So I was out there pretty early, sound checking my band because I'm also performing.
Wow.
But I was also helping him like coordinate when the photo shoots are happening, where they're happening, who's playing when at what time, setting up both stages. So I was helping him kind of like get everything to form smoothly. And to
so that's the business part of it, right? That you've been talking about.
I know, I'm talking about that.
And then did you perform today?
No, I performed later. I just got back home, so I was going to have this interview, podcast thing, and then I was going to get ready, and I was going to go over there around like 4:35, and I start playing at 6 till 10.
So, all right. Hey, hang on.
Wow.
Stella is looking. Okay, hang on. So I'm always curious, do you do anything to like loosen up the vocal cords? Like, do you like gargle?
Oh yeah.
What is that routine like? How long does it take? Like, you know, because I kind of want to sing a song right now, but
you already sang.
But I'm not sure. Yeah, shit, I did. That's right.
You can't do it.
But I'm not, dude. My vocal cords are always loose. I'm always ready to go. What does Amber Diaz do vocally to prepare herself for a gig?
Okay, you guys are hilarious. Let's see. I wake up in the morning, and in the morning, I usually, when I play gigs, it's usually around the nighttime, but like a few days ago, I had a gig at 7 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh my poor dear, 7 a.m.?
It's literally a nightmare. I said, no, I'm kidding.
Dude, 7 a.m., I've already ran 3 miles. Go. All right, next.
Yeah, but she's a teenager.
Oh,
Jesus.
All right, vocal preparation. Go ahead.
Okay, so I wake up. I usually, because I am very outdoorsy, like weirdly outdoorsy. Like, I love being outside. So I take a walk. I wake up, brush my teeth, like kind of get ready, and just take a walk in my neighborhood. Like a 15-minute walk.
Okay.
And while I took a walk, I do like massages on my like neck and like my chest area.
Huh.
Like I take my thumb and I put them like right under my jaw.
Yeah.
Like where my jawline is. Okay. And I massage my throat just in case if there's any tension, I massage it out. And then when I get back home, I take a hot shower so my vocals are steamed. And then I kind of sit on my computer because I have files that my vocal coach sent me of like different warm-ups that I do. So I do lip trills and then I do scales and I do octaves.
Me too. I do scales. Yeah.
Okay. Scales. So can you share that with us?
Me.
Not you, Mark.
Oh, sorry.
I'm asking Amber.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Sorry. All right, I'll do Jim Morrison later. All right, go. I'm sorry. Yeah, so share with us. Me.
Let's see. So sometimes I do like, let's see, I do octaves. So I start on like the lowest part of my register and I go, ah, and I take it every half step.
Wow.
So I go, ah, and I do that with different vowels.
Yep.
So I can stretch my range because when you wake up, especially early,
your range
can be boring.
Mark, stop.
Beautiful.
Sorry.
No, I love it.
Sorry.
No, I love it so much.
I'm a freaking clown.
No, I think it's beautiful.
All right.
It's
really good. Okay.
Wait till you meet him. He is a clown.
Do you gargle with salt water? Do you gargle?
I only gargle salt water when I am sick and when my tones are inflamed.
Okay.
So
other than like when my voice is kind of on the more chill side, I kind of keep it like just the tea, the hot tea, and like the, you know, stuff like that.
So so athletes have a warm down as well when they're done playing, when they're done riding. Do you have a warm down as a vocalist?
Yeah. Warm down is kind of just like I, after I sing a really harsh set, I try not to speak that much after. I kind of let my voice relax for a little while.
Me too, Amber. Me too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I take a hot tea right after. Like, tea is my holy grail, if you haven't noticed. Hot tea.
What kind of tea?
Oh, my God. Whenever you feel like you need, like, when you need, like, when you feel your voice is, like, the slightest bit tired, a hot tea will wake it up so quickly.
Is there a type of tea? Like a green tea?
Yeah, what kind of tea do you drink?
I like green tea and I like eucalyptus. Eucalyptus is really good for your your immune system as well.
Okay.
So you don't get sick as much.
I have never tried eucalyptus tea. I'm going to have to find
so
some.
So good, girl. You need to for real.
Amber, do you think you could teach me how to sing?
No, he just wants to sing. Tell him you can't.
No,
you already know. You don't need my help.
Say, like, no.
You're doing great.
This is my interview, Mark. This is not your interview, Mark. Like, okay,
so Wait, hang on.
So is singing like, okay, so we just, in the call before you, we spoke to another musician who plays the drums. Is music, all right, let's call it music as a category, and then the subcategory is singing, right? If, okay, Amber, the rule of 100 states that if I do something, anything, violin, running, reading, singing, 18 minutes a day, every day for a year, that's 100 hours, and you will be better than 95% of the people who actually do that. Could a non-vocalist who has no perceived talent teach himself how to sing?
I personally think anybody can sing. And if you say you can't sing, it's bullshit. I think anybody can sing. It just depends on what style you want to sing. Because, again, style and likeness and, like, taste is very subjective.
Yes.
So you might think you're a terrible singer, but someone might be like, oh, my God, you have the best voice ever. I think anybody can sing to any appetized audience and any crowd, because it's honestly all subjective. And you can take that advice and bring it to anything.
Mm.
Anyone can do anything. It's just all taste is all subjective.
Mm. Okay, but what about people who are like tone deaf?
I don't know what you mean.
You can definitely learn.
I'm not tone deaf.
If you're tone deaf, like genuinely, like cannot differentiate notes, there's definitely ways you can learn how to, like maybe not perfectly be in tune, but also learn how to differentiate notes from others. You just have to inform yourself. Again, that's with everything. You might suck at sports, but if you learn how to correctly position yourself to be able to do the sport correctly, you might be able to get along but not be amazing, you know?
All right, I got a question that I ask athletes, and I think musicians are athletes as well, just in a different type of sport, right? So the question I ask is this: is it hard work or is it talent that gets you ahead?
Oh, my God, this question is cool. Let's see. I think there's nothing more impressive and more, like, I give more respect to people who have zero talent but put in the 10,000 hours.
Yes.
And you can tell they tried.
Boom, boom,
and
boom.
And someone who's woken up in the morning, been good since the start, and puts in no effort because they know they're good.
You've just answered it the way every professional athlete has answered
it. It's so crazy. It's so true.
Everyone answers it the same way. It's the work. You got to do work.
Well, and of course, ideally, you have both, right? Like, ideally, you have both, and then you can be a legend.
Yep. I mean, if you have both, you've been blessed with a good work ethic and a good talented, you know. Some people are very, very, very talented about zero work ethic, and they still get along quite well, but a lot of people don't respect them because they know they haven't worked for what they've gained. They've just been given it very easily. People who've worked very hard and kind of started from the bottom up, they know how to approach things in a different way, in life and in music. If you've worked for what you have established within yourself and within what you've been given because of the hard work, you know how to approach a lot of situations, I argue, better than someone who's just been given everything because they've been good since the start. They don't know what it's like to sacrifice and to work for something, you know?
Such is life, my friend. Such is life.
Amber, when you think about, you know, next steps, because I know you've been accepted to colleges and you're still waiting, I'm sure, on a couple. When you think about where you plan to go with your musical talent, with musical business, like, where do you envision yourself, like, 5 years from now when you're done with college? What do you want to be doing?
Hopefully, kind of working like how I am now for a organization or for a team, helping musicians find what they want and what they like. For example, now I'm more than grateful to be working for YMU that puts on these shows and like has me helping the back end of it and like working with musicians in terms of the tech side and the business side and the managing side. Like, I hope to be doing the same thing, but on a higher scale in 5 years from now.
Do you also hope to be doing your own, like creating and performing your own music alongside that? Or is that something that you imagine? Okay. That's great.
Yeah, I think I would be more than grateful to have that. But I guess my first priority is finding my stable, you know, living kind of work, which I would really want it to be the music business side, because I find so much joy in helping musicians kind of put their things out there. But in an ideal world, of course, I would still want to continue to perform and continue to play and sing and write with my friends. But right now, I really have recently been focusing on my music business kind of portfolio and kind of wanting to elevate that a lot. So ideally, of course, I would love to.
Amber, how does the listening audience find you? Is there Insta, TikTok? Where do people find you?
Okay, yes. You can find me on Instagram at 4. So it's Amber Diaz, but the A in Amber is a 4 instead.
And it's A, and it's to spell
it's 4MBAR.
4MBER.
Oh.
A-Z.
4MBER.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's 4MBER Diaz? D-I-A-Z?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
okay.
Me.
That's Insta. Yay.
Is there any other socials and or websites?
I have a TikTok and it's the same.
Okay. I got a TikTok too. Yeah. All right.
You can find me there.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I've been wanting to put a YouTube out, but I don't know. I'm like very, you know.
Well, and if we follow Young Musicians Unite on Instagram.
You will see me there a lot. Absolutely.
Yes. She's got lots of content there.
Yeah. I have YMU tagged on my Instagram, and I have Rock Ensemble as well. So if you just watch them, you'll find me everywhere.
And Amber, advice to young, talented musicians today in Miami and beyond. Like, what would your best advice be to aspiring musicians or for people who were told, unless you become Madonna or Lady Gaga, you're not going to be successful as a musician. Pursue business instead. Like, what kind of advice do you have to those who have this talent and passion, but may not necessarily have the, like, sort of chutzpah to pursue it?
Let's see. I think that, again, my kind of, like, tunnel vision, like, vibe and, like, the quote that I always think of is literally everything is subjective. Not, like, everything we've created as humans in terms of jobs and society and music, it's all subjective, everything.
Yep.
So if you genuinely think that you are passionate enough to pursue something in music, and you know that you have the balls and the guts and the drive to do it, nothing is more valuable than looking within yourself and knowing that it's your calling and just going for it.
Amen.
Because a lot of people never get to that point. A lot of people never get to the point where, like, I have this thing and I want to do this thing for my life.
Amen.
A lot of people don't have that, you know? So it's powerful enough that you can look within yourself and be like, wow, I really want to do this, but I'm scared what people will think, or I'm scared that I'm never going to make it. Everything is subjective. There's going to be at least one person who digs what you do, no matter what. No matter literally what you do, there's an audience for everything. And if you just have the guts and the drive to go for it, just fucking go for it.
It's a big world, right?
It's a big world.
Yeah, dude.
I bet you someone's going to like my Chris Cornell intro, right, at some point.
I did.
Yes.
I'm the one person who.
Yes.
I really liked it.
Listen. Amber, I loved the way you answered that question, and I answer that a little differently, but the same, but with the same feeling. The way I answer that is two ways. Never do I ever want to say in my life shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Because that equals regret, right?
Yeah, regret is like the worst imprisonment for your mind ever.
Yes.
And if you don't ask the question, the answer will always be no.
Correct.
You got to ask the question. You have to do, you got to get out there and do it. If you don't do it, it's always going to be no.
That's true. That's very true. Oh, I love that.
I love that, yeah, too.
You could quote me. You both can quote me on it.
Okay, we
will. I love
you. Yes, that, right. That was definitely a Mark Fiertz original.
Yes, yes.
Amber, this was lovely. We are so very grateful for your time today.
Wait, I want to sing with her.
No, you can't. You started singing. You're
Isn't
done.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think?
Oh, my God. How cute.
It's like, hey, when you're running away. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think if you could really try, you would be really good at singing.
No.
Actually, he's not bad when he is actually trying.
I'll tell you what I am. Amber, I am a lover of attention. I am an extreme extrovert. I'm my comfort zone with in front of an audience. That is my I don't know, my gift-ish.
I love that for you. I do.
I love you. I'm so, so grateful that you spent time with us today, and I know you've got another gig to get to.
I do.
So thank you for being on the Zero Hour with
us. Yo, Amber Diaz in the house from Young Musicians Unite. What up, kid?
Woo!
Thank you so much, and we hopefully will be seeing you in about a month and a bit.
Yeah, dude. Text me.
Like, I will.
All right.
I need to show you around.
Like,
yes.
All right, Miss Diaz.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Nice meeting
Amber
you.
Amber Diaz on TikTok, on Insta, yes, through Young Musicians Follow Unite. You. Follow her. Be listening because she is going to be famous.
Represent.
Okay.
All right.
Love you. Take
Bye.
Care.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.